Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Ejected from the aircraft and landed alive on Iranian soil. I immediately was asked to make a decision. I ordered the U.S. Armed Forces to do whatever was necessary to bring our brave warriors back home. A risky decision because we could have ended up with 100 dead as opposed to one or two. It's a hard decision to make. But in the United States military, we leave no American behind. We don't do it.
You know, if there was any one takeaway from this press conference yesterday, which was genuinely both a speech and, you know, revealing of the details, and also he took a lot of questions from the press with, you know, the CIA director and the Secretary of War and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs were there yesterday. Of course, the main reason that he was having this press conference yesterday had to do with the rescue over the weekend, but also the imminent deadline for tonight, the 8 p.m. deadline that he's given Iran to come to a deal or else, basically warning later on into the press conference that if they did not take the deal, if they did not make a deal that was pleasing to him, without going into too many details about that, that, you know, he would destroy every bridge and every power plant in the entire country, could be done within 3 or 4 hours. I don't know about the plausibility of that time frame, but that was exactly what he was talking about last night and, of course, or yesterday afternoon, and hour and a half press conference. And, you know, John, you know me. Am I typically a fan of watching the president for an hour and a half?
No, sir, you're not.
Not my favorite pastime. I was captivated. It was very interesting. You know, there were parts of it that were, you know, just Trump, you know, making nonsense up or whatever, but a lot of it was actually very particular. A lot of details of the raid and his answers to some of the questions were, I thought, actually very revealing of future plans he has for the United States vis-a-vis Europe, the rest of the world, the Middle East. It was actually quite interesting. I don't know if we carried the whole thing live here yesterday. You know, I think we probably should have if we didn't, but, you know, I hope we carried a bunch of it. I wasn't listening in the afternoon. I was doing other stuff, but definitely went back and listened to the whole thing last night. And, for example, this was a crucial moment in the press conference yesterday because we were, you know, learning about this whole, well, what are you going to do tonight as the deadline looms?
You said that very little is off limits in Iran as far as targeting, yeah, including power plants, bridges, you've mentioned those.
Very little is off limits.
Are there certain kinds of civilian targets, though? I'm thinking schools.
I don't want to tell you that. We have a plan because of the power of our military where every bridge in Iran will be decimated by 12 o'clock tomorrow night, where every power plant in Iran will be out of business, burning, exploding, and never to be used again. I mean, complete demolition by 12 o'clock. And it'll happen over a period of 4 hours if we wanted to. We don't want that to happen.
That's the, you know, 8 p.m. tonight plus 4 hours makes midnight, right?
We may even get involved with helping them rebuild their nation. And you know what? If that's the case, the last thing we want to do is start with power plants, which are among the most expensive thing, and bridges. You saw the bridge. The bridge went. We were very close to a deal. And then I got a call from Mr. Witkoff, Mr. Kushner, and J.D. saying, I think they're breaking the deal. I said, tell them that's okay. Don't worry about it. But tell them to look out their window and watch. And within 45 minutes, I gave the order to knock out the biggest bridge. I gave the order to knock out the biggest bridge in, I believe, the Middle East, but the biggest bridge in Iran. And within 10 minutes after I gave that order, that bridge was over.
See, this, I thought this was particularly interesting because it, for me anyway, it put together that his approach, and which makes sense. I mean, we kind of sort of knew this, but it was a very particular example that his approach here is not purely military necessity targeting, but leverage consequences, deal with us. Oh, you're not dealing with us. We're going to destroy this. Hey, here's a deadline. You know, like credibility building with whoever is even able to be paying attention in the regime. But okay, we're working on a deal. J.D. Vance says, yeah, they're not working with us anymore. Okay, you don't want to work with us anymore? Watch this bridge. You know, it's real-time feedback to the leadership in Iran of what to expect if you don't work with us. And look, it is clear. And you know me, I'm a pretty strong critic of the president at times, but there are also times when I absolutely adore the things that he does. And one of the things that is abundantly clear about him is his reputation among people who hate him is as a bloodthirsty warmonger. Like, that's what they've always said about him. He's, you know, he's unpredictable. He's unstable. You know, he loves the military, loves using the military, you know, has no, I think President Trump really genuinely at his core hates warfare, like hates to have to do it, hates death, hates bloodshed, hates to have to do it. He's certainly willing to do it. But he's said this so many times, and his attitude towards other conflicts has shown that, and even if you look at the nature of the targeting that we're using, is just, it's not about an indiscriminate bloodshed. In fact, if anything, it's incredibly restrained and specific. And even though it's been massive, you see the number of casualties we're talking about? Like, it's very low. Compared to, say, the Israeli attacks into Gaza, which I do not blame Israel for, because I think largely those were acts of necessity against a terrorist infrastructure, Iranian-supported terrorist infrastructure by Hamas in Gaza, that deliberately used human shields so as to discourage them from attacking. I don't think that Iran really deeply believed that this day would ever come where they would be attacked large scale inside their homeland. They might have, you know, followed the Gaza model if they had. But, you know, we're talking, I mean, what, a couple thousand people that have been killed so far in a war that's gone for more than a month? That's a very low number when you really think about it. Why? Well, because the targeting and the bombing has all been very specific without the intent to produce, you know, extra death, civilian death. And so this picture of Trump as this, like, bloodthirsty warlord, Attila the Hun type person is, again, just false. There's no evidence of that. And instead, what you see is kind of a negotiator. The idea that we're going to talk, work out a deal. Okay, we don't trust you. We're not, you know, and as somebody who's dealt with tyrants and scoundrels and schemers and liars his whole life, I mean, he's a construction guy. You know what? That's that industry, unfortunately, right? And politicians who wanted bribes and all. I mean, he's had a lot of experience dealing with horrid, terrible, liar, psychopath, sociopath type people his whole life, in politics, outside of politics, okay, before politics. And so he's in there trying to, I think, save that country, create a kind of a, I don't want to say new world order because that's, you know, got certain baggage, that term, but a different structure around global politics. And he doesn't want to kill a lot of people to have to make it happen. In my view, okay, you know, Andrew McKay's view, who, again, if you're new to the show, I have a lot of criticism for President Trump. But in this particular incident, both based on the things that he has chosen to do and chosen not to do and how he's explaining some of this stuff yesterday, I mean, if you're willing to listen, he's explaining. Now, of course, his critics, like this nitwit with the New York Times that was in this press conference yesterday, are unable to hear it. But I think he's really explaining what's going on and what he's trying to accomplish.
So do I want to do that? No. Do I want to destroy their infrastructure? No. It will take them 100 years to rebuild. Right now, if we left today, it would take them 20 years to rebuild their country, and it would never be as good as it was. And the only way they're going to be able to rebuild their country is to utilize the genius of the United States of America.
So does he want to lay waste to their civilian impacting infrastructure, which I've said before will also have military value And one of the challenges of just war theory is figuring out, well, how much is this bridge or how much is a power plant? How much will that affect the military campaign versus how much will it affect civilian life? And if it is proportional to the military campaign and the objectives thereof, it can be allowed under just war theory to do things that harm civilians because you're not intending to do that. You're not using them as leverage. That's terrorism, right? That's the problem. So anyway, I think that this, I don't know what the Iranians are going to do. They are not rational by any measure of rationality in international politics that you would normally ascribe. But we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens tonight. So anyway, it was a very interesting press conference. Of course, you know, what I found kind of reassuring, actually, is I don't think we learned anything, or maybe only in the smaller details. We learned some things we didn't know yesterday. But we didn't hear anything, which made me feel really good because I went on the air yesterday giving you a lot of, I think this is what happened and this is the best I can piece together from different accounts. And I don't think anything that I said yesterday turned out to be false, which made me feel really good because I was taking a lot of kind of like educated guesses about what took place. But yeah, the details here and the theme, of course, the theme was we don't leave anybody behind, which, by the way, that you've seen some of these comments on social media about people complaining about the number of airplanes and the amount of people and assets that were deployed to rescue just one person, or really just two people, because, you know, the first raid, like the first incursion to go get the pilot, was as amazing as the other one in a lot of ways. It just hasn't gotten as much attention, you know, but that slice of it, I guess, you know, I do have time to play any of this. I don't know if I have time to get into it. Here's a little bit, okay? This is General Kane talking about the first raid, the raid to get the pilot of the F-15E.
On Thursday, 2 April at 10:10 p.m. Eastern Time, 4:40 in the morning, local Iran time, the Joint Personnel Recovery Center, which handles the Central Command area of responsibility, declared an isolated personnel recovery event for a U.S. Air Force F-15E Strike Eagle, call sign Dude-44, which was down in hostile Iranian territory. The pilot and weapons system officer had both safely ejected and were isolated behind enemy lines. Following confirmation of active rescue beacons and on the direction of the secretary and by order of the president, a rescue operation was launched with the stated purpose of bringing both Americans home safely.
And this is the daylight one. This is the, we got to go 7 hours into Iran in the daylight with helicopters and slow moving planes and go get a dude. Literally, that's, you know, the assigned number for the dude 44, right? We're trying to get a dude 44A and dude 44B.
Shortly thereafter, a U.S. Air Force Combat Search and Rescue Task Force comprised of A-10 Warthogs in their Sandy role, and I'll describe what that is in a minute, HC-130 Combat King 2s, HH-60 Jolly Green 2 helicopters, and Air Force Special Warfare Airmen, a package comprised of combat rescue officers and pararescuemen operators, audaciously penetrated enemy territory in broad daylight to find, fix, and recover Dude 44 Alpha from behind enemy lines.
Again, we've heard so much about the second raid, really, but the first raid rescue operation was, as the general said yesterday, equally amazing.
This was an incredibly dangerous mission, an incredibly dangerous undertaking, but a filled promise made to every American warfighter that you will not be left behind. We will always come find you, and we will always bring you home.
And part of the reason I wanted to play some of this is that no man left behind kind of mindset is not just a matter of ethics or patriotism, or it's not some just emotional expression that we love our people this much. There's a military value to knowing that your military will come and get you no matter what, no matter where. How much more do you fight for? How much more devoted are you? How much more willing are you to take risks if you know that if my plane goes down, My country will come and get me. My country has my back. My country will do everything. They will move heaven and earth to come and get me. As opposed to a country where they're like, well, you know, it's just one dude. You know, that expression of solidarity, of support, of, you know, because you some, I mean, if you ever watched, like, Black Hawk Down is a good example of this. You just watched that not that long ago. There's a part of you that watches this movie and thinks, I don't know, was it good to put all those extra assets in and then a lot of more people got killed and a lot more helicopters went down? And, you know, was it really worth it just to get, you know, Private Ryan, you know, so to speak, out of, you know, is it really worth it to get just a few of these guys? And the answer is, your military behaves differently when they believe that way about their comrades, about their brothers in arms, about what you do for your fellow soldier and what they will do for you or airmen. You know, like, it's just, there's a military value to that as opposed to just, which is, because it's a morale value. Morale has tremendous military value, right? So anyway, this notion of going and getting just one person and, you know, squandering all this asset, or like, they said it many times yesterday. We can rebuild planes. Stuff only costs so much. People cannot be rebuilt, replaced, obviously. And that's an important thing. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay. And if you're thinking about your next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great selection of good quality used cars. They got about 300 on the lot at any given moment. You can test drive as many as you. I mean, maybe you don't drive 300 of them. But, I mean, you could. But go drive four, five, or six. You know, typically you drive a couple of cars and then you buy one, right? Because you get fatigued or you find something that's good enough or whatever. Seriously, take your time. Compare some things. Find out what you like and don't like, because a lot of times, you know, your first choice is color and exterior, and your real choice should be interior and comfort and long-term, because that's what you're going to experience out of your car. And go ahead and take your time, but start at Frontier and ask them what people don't like so you can think about, well, people complain about that. They should know. They see thousands of cars. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-478-6430 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-478-6430. That's 800-478-6430. What do you have to lose? Call 800-478-6430. Again, 800-478-6430. 6430.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You ever look at your bank account and think,
okay, that could be better?
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You don't mind hanging back? You're jamming my frequencies.
I just feel like it'd be wrong to interrupt Rick Springfield, especially when John Pickens is over here so enthusiastically not singing the words he doesn't know.
I know, but I love this.
I know, it's a great song.
Great song.
It really is. You know, it's probably the most embarrassing CD that I own is Rick Springfield's Greatest Hits.
Why? Why is that embarrassing for you, my friend?
Look up the CD. Go ahead and look it up. Go ahead. Look up on Google Image Search the Rick Springfield's Greatest Hits, and then you tell me why it's embarrassing.
Okay.
I'll just let you do that for a second. 437. But it's great music. It really is. It's campy. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. It happens to be Rick Springfield. So be it. 437-16. Oh. Do you see the CD?
Yeah.
Just that big old heart.
Oh, my goodness.
And I can't even pass it off as like a Love and Rocket CD, which they also feature a lot of hearts in their stuff for different reasons. But, yeah, it's just a giant giant blue disc with a big old red Rick Springfield heart in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. We all need the human touch, baby.
I can't make this up.
I know. That's now you know why I said it. All right. Cool stuff watching Artemis 2 yesterday also. Dark Side of the Moon. Brown? Interesting.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Ron says your move to President Trump, which reportedly turned down the latest ceasefire attempt to reopen the Strait of Hormuz, but they're still talking.
Diplomatic efforts are underway. Iran's ambassador to Pakistan today said that efforts are approaching the critical stage. Today, Iranian officials are calling on citizens to create a human chain around power plants to act as human shields.
Fox's Alex Hogan in Washington. The president has threatened to destroy key infrastructure. His deadline set for 8 p.m. Eastern. Vice President J.D. Vance arrives in Hungary today, days before that nation's elections. He's meeting with Trump ally Prime Minister Viktor Orban. And Michigan defeats Connecticut to capture the college basketball national championship, first title for the Wolverines since 1989. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It is 55 degrees right now with clear skies. We'll get to our forecast. Brooke Richardson has that for us in just a few minutes. Well, a social media challenge is back in Santa Rosa County, and Sheriff Bob Johnson says it could have deadly consequences. The door kick challenge has been reported with participants running up to homes and kicking or banging on doors, sometimes causing damage.
And if you have a, you know, an old person in the house and they think it's a home invasion and they shoot through the door, it's sorry for your loss. I mean, you're too stupid to be out there breathing, apparently. Because, you know, you get this and people, you know, think it's funny.
And that's Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson there. And he says most Santa Rosa County residents are armed in their homes. That makes the challenge particularly reckless. Here in Northwest Florida, the sheriff's office has been pushing warnings on Facebook and through local media. A new class of 17 Escambia County Fire Cadets is wrapping up training this week with 3 days of live drills involving heat, smoke, and real-life scenarios. It's only the second class to be trained entirely by the county's own lieutenants, who provided 535 hours of instruction, surpassing the state's 492-hour requirement. Training officers say the in-house model creates a stronger mentorship bond between the instructors and cadets. The department has grown from 77 to 215 personnel over the last 15 years and is building new fire stations at Paradise Beach and Kingsfield Road. $1 million has been secured through Representative Salzman to help fund a dedicated live fire training facility. The new cadets begin as probationary firefighters. And that brings the department to almost full staffing. The former director of the nursing program at Northwest Florida State College pushing back after being forced to resign following the discovery of what investigators are called live medications, including fentanyl and morphine, in unlocked campus storage areas. Dr. Tanya Beauregard said those vials were not actually drugs, but saline solutions used to teach nursing students how to properly draw and administer medications. She said hospitals routinely donate vials to the program, which are filled with saline for training purposes. Well, a rapper's been hurt after a shooting in Broward County that happened in Hollywood at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino last night. The victim was identified as Kiari Cephas, who performs under the name Offset. His representatives tell TMZ that the rapper's in stable condition and is being closely monitored. Police did confirm there was a shooting but didn't identify the victim. Officials say he is expected to survive, and two people were detained after that incident. There's a new lawsuit meant to protect Florida from Sharia law. Governor DeSantis was in Tampa yesterday where he signed HB 1471 that bans Florida courts from applying or enforcing foreign or religious law if it would violate constitutional rights. It is 5:35. Let's get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at some very beautiful weather today with some cooler temperatures in the morning, warming up near 77 degrees for your afternoon highs with some sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 57. For Wednesday, small 20% chance of a stray sprinkle, otherwise partly sunny skies, high near 73. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 58. Looking at that nice weather as we head into Thursday with a small 20% chance of rain continuing. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And it's 54 degrees right now with clear skies. Your next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Is your house your dream home? Or at least is it on the way there? Maybe it's time for a change. Maybe all you really need to turn your house into your dream home is an appliance upgrade. When it's time for an upgrade, then it's time to visit Topps Appliance in Milton. They're locally owned and operated. They have top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, and stoves to dependable washers and dryers. Topps Appliance carries the brands you know and trust, like GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and more. Topps Appliance in Milton. They offer delivery and installation, something you won't get from the big box stores. And they have many items in stock, so you can take your new appliance the very same day. Topps Appliance. Check them out at toppsappliance.net on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street. Turning your house into your dream home. Topps Appliance.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3. Who's awake? I mean, the three of us. And you, wherever you are. Good to have you with us this morning. Yesterday, I don't know. I've been up. I got up on time this morning. I had coffee. Everything normal. Normal amount of sleep. There's no explaining it that way. You know.
But I'm just like, what are you talking about?
My goal is to make radio that's so good that you never, like, I want to ruin you for other radio shows, but every once in a while I know that I also make radio that's just so weird that you're like, I don't even know why I like this show.
I'm just sitting here just looking at you.
I just never quite know exactly what's going to happen next.
Or come out your mouth.
I hear the words that are coming out of your mouth. All right. Yesterday we had a chance to talk to Santa Rosa. You know there's somebody that's like, what are they talking about? Is that a reference to something? It is. Yesterday we had a chance to talk to Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. We've had a couple of things happen in the last week that we want to talk about. First of all, your deputies had, recovered or found a body near Garcon Point Bridge last Monday, just after we had gotten off the air. What do we know at this point?
So we did an autopsy, and there's no real signs of foul play, but we think he probably drowned, but we still don't have an ID yet on the body, so...
Do we have any sense of, you know, how recent or anything along those lines? I would assume in the water it's got to be fairly recent, but you tell me.
Yeah. They think he was probably in the water about 3 or 4 days at most.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that process, I imagine, is going through the known missing persons, doing whatever identification we can do and matching that up with anything of any sort, victims of crime or anything like that, right?
Yeah, and we had a missing persons out of Louisiana, and they think that it may be him. So, but we don't know for sure. So they're getting DNA from a family member, and then we're going to try to compare it that way. But there's no telling.
Got it. You also had Randy Tift, your chief deputy, had done a kind of a video done an interview with Channel 3, I think, also about the door kick challenge that people are again surfacing into Santa Rosa County. We thought this had gone to Okaloosa, and we didn't get the stupids here, but apparently we did, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have a shortage of people that watch TikTok and then decide that's a smart thing to do. And unfortunately, it's going to get somebody killed. It really is. And what do you do when that happens? I mean, you sue TikTok. I mean, I don't think China's going to really honor anything like that. But it's just kids just doing dumb stuff because they see it on TikTok. It's insane. And we try to get out there on Facebook and, Channel 3 and, of course, your radio program. And we try to get the message out that, please, that is not the challenge you want to participate in Santa Rosa County.
You know, it's funny with all of the like community standards warnings and notes about things, you would think maybe there could be some kind of moderation for something like this. This is the one where they run up to the door and bang on it real loud or kick it or kick on the doing property damage in some cases, like to panels of garages, right?
Yeah, correct. And if you have a, an old person in the house and they think it's a home invasion, and they shoot through the door, it's sorry for your loss. I mean, you're too stupid to be out there breathing, apparently. Because, you get this, and people, think it's funny, and it's, I think everybody knows that most of the people in Santa Rosa County are armed, especially in their homes. So for this challenge to even be out there, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's one of those that I'm with you. Every time this kind of comes up again, I think to myself, There's a lot of stupid things you can do in your life for fun. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sure. We've done some of them ourselves.
Oh yeah.
But making somebody inside a home where the chances are at least above even that they've got a gun, think that their home is being invaded is not in the realm of the smarts. to put it plainly.
No, it's not. It's kind of like, if you go do that, it's kind of like cleaning up a gene pool.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, all you can do is warn them.
Yeah.
That's all you can do.
Talk to your kids. Make sure they're not, hanging around the wrong kids or watching the wrong stuff. You had a really cool story. I know David Wayne, our news anchor, news director, has been reporting on this all day. But I think off duty or retired, I'm not sure which, Philip Smith and his wife rescued somebody on the Blackwater River. What happened here?
Yeah. At that time, he was off duty. He just now retired, and we surprised him. Yeah, we surprised him at his retirement ceremony. He had no idea that it was coming. But the boy he saved was there, and, of course, I presented him with a life-saving medal as well. So, but what happened was this boy fell out of his boat, and the boat ran him over, cut him in the neck, and cut him across his chest, and he was basically bleeding out. And Philip and his wife pulled him out of the water, got him on their boat, and thank goodness, she's a nurse. So... they knew exactly what to do to get the bleeding stopped. And of course he's, the guy is doing a lot better.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Both fortuitous, blessed, whatever. And that he was able to do that and that they were able to rescue him. That's amazing. Was the kid, do we know, was the kid by himself on the boat?
Well, he had just dropped his girlfriend off on a little island right there, and he was going over to say hi to Philip. And that's when, I guess, a wave hit or something, and he got tossed out of the boat. Mm. And this tells you what kind of person Philip Smith is. I didn't know anything about this. He never said anything to anybody.
Really?
So, yeah. So, you know, I would have given the life-saving award probably a lot earlier than this. But, you know, it's just, it's crazy. He didn't want anybody to know.
You know, also,
kind of guy he is.
Also a good reminder. I don't know if we know whether the kid was wearing a life jacket or not, but a reminder that, you know, life jackets save lives, because if you get knocked out, I mean, that's it, you know?
Well, life jackets and wearing a kill switch, too.
Yeah.
He did not have either. So that was bad.
Yeah,
it could have been a lot worse if he was by himself, you know, he would have died for sure.
I know you did a fair bit of time in the Air Force. You worked, if I remember correctly, you worked security detail for President Reagan. But I think when the reserves, you also worked with the gunships, with the AC-130s and reserves. Is that right?
Yes, I flew in the AC-130A models, which are the Vietnam era ones. Mm. I did that for a few years and enjoyed it. I love flying, so it was a great thing.
So the reason I bring that up is just because, you know, obviously you're watching what's going on over in Iran, but I was thinking a lot about this rescue mission that took place over the weekend. Now, I don't know if we know whether there were any gunships in there. We had some C-130s. A couple of them got stuck in the sand or the mud, depending on which account you read. A couple of the other ones helped, but I imagine you were thinking about all that this weekend.
Yeah, I was, and actually I have several friends who were PJs, and they did the rescue. They were there on the initial rescue of the pilot. The backseater was the one they rescued second. And the only thing I couldn't figure out about that whole story was, why use C-130s? I mean, normally they come in at fast in helos and, you know, drop the PJs out. They pick the guy up and bring him back to the helo and they take off. So that's the only part I didn't get, was why were C-130s even in play?
Yeah, I had the same question. My only thought, and this all just guessing, was that maybe the number of personnel that they wanted available in case there was a ground fight, which there clearly was a pretty big firefight in the process, that they needed more than they could just get in there on the helos. But that, you know, that was my only thought about that, because they put in the two, which they then had to destroy, and then sent in three more as the recovery, you know, so, you know, major operation. Yeah. But, yeah, I had the same question, so... Interesting note. Sheriff Bob Johnson, as always, sir, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir. Take care, Andrew.
Absolutely. By the way, PJ's parajumpers. Just, I thought that I almost interrupted him yesterday when we were talking, but I'm like, no, I'm not going to. I figured you'd figure it out. 547 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, I'm getting, we're making, kind of joking about who's up this early. And somebody texted and said, Andrew, we wake up at 4 a.m. Because all we need to know for the day comes from your program. Aw, great. Now I got that on me.
Oh, that's super sweet, man.
You know, I think about that sometimes, because I do. I have some friends and some other people who told me the same thing, that like they get up and listen to the show in bed together at like 5 a.m. and get their whatever they need for the day. And that always makes me feel weird, because at 5 a.m. when I get on the air, I'm like, how many people are really out listening at 5 a.m.? And, you know, sometimes 5 a.m. is the less emphasized hour. It's not like, not exactly the, you know, the ugly stepchild, but it's a little bit like that. And I always feel, well, I got to give these people something amazing. So, you know, we try every day. Hey, if you are thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty do a fantastic job of this. She's been doing this for, gosh, oh, she said it the other day and then I promptly forgot. 9 years now, something like that. And she's just really, really productive at this. 209 homes sold last year. She and her team, not just her personally. I mean, that would be impossible. But she and her team, the most of anybody in residential real estate in the area, 209 homes. So every, you know, basically every other day they're selling a home. And a little more than that, 4 a week. Okay. Which is crazy. When the market was hard, they were not selling quite as many. The market is still hard and they're actually selling more. You say, how is that possible? I don't know. Ask her. Part of the reason, I think, is because people are, you know, coming to her, and when other realtors kind of don't get the job done, she's told me that happens a lot. Also, the market just recently, she does pep talk periodically, and the market just recently has gotten interestingly better. This wouldn't affect that 209. This is like in the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks. But houses that were sitting for a month or a couple of weeks are now suddenly getting multiple offers at or above list price, cash offers, you know. She says it's just weird. Spring is always a little bit different, and there's always a time in the year when it just happens. But, you know, being prepared for that moment means that it pays off if you've got a listing for it. So anyway, if you're selling or buying, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinky Realty can take care of you very, very, very effectively. 786-3996.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Right now, somewhere close, your dream house is sitting there. Maybe it's got the perfect porch, a backyard made for barbecues, a kitchen built for big family meals, and it's just waiting for you to call it home. At PennAir Credit Union, we make it easy to get there with great rates, flexible loans, and local lenders who know the market. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing, we're here to help. So what are you waiting for? Learn more at penair.org/homeloans. Equal housing lender.
Hey, all the way. Hey,
all the way. The Pensacola Navy Days 4K, presented by Baptist Healthcare, is Saturday, May 9th. This fun run starts at Plaza de Luna, runs up Palafox along Bayfront to Veterans Park, and back to Plaza de Luna. Registrants receive a commemorative Pensacola Navy Days medal and race shirt. You can run or walk, and when you return to Plaza de Luna, you can celebrate with a beverage and stick around for the Family Fun Fest. Register now at PensacolaNavyDays.org. That's PensacolaNavyDays.org.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air.
Tune in Thursday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Markley Van Camp and Robbins.
MVR.
Weekdays at 11 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Tonight, this is a proposed expansion of an existing advanced manufacturing operation in Escambia County, and it is expected to create 300 net new full-time jobs with an average annual wage of over $75,000 a year and an additional $22,000 in benefits per employee. This company is also proposing a $100 million capital investment. So thank you for investing in our community, and thank you for investing in our people.
Hey, it's nice to get a win, $100 million investment, an expansion of an existing company here in Escambia County. 300 jobs, $75,000 average wage. Ashley Hoffberger, they're introing. She's the chairman, District 4 commissioner. And then Chris Platte, the CEO from Florida West. That's the economic development arm in Escambia County.
It's my great pleasure to present to you tonight Project Leopard. We were anticipating releasing the name of the company, but it is April Fool's. So we had some quick adjustments to make. And due to the company being publicly traded, they have some quiet periods around where they produce their earnings reports. So we hope to be releasing the name at the end of the month. And also, please understand that this project is under an NDA.
So it's under an NDA, which a lot of times happens because, you know, a company is going to be shopping around different locations and particulars. And, you know, they don't want the news out because the news will affect their business. And also, you know, others might come and try to compete or do different things. So it's, you know, this is very common to have these code names for these projects like this one, Project Leopard.
So Project Leopard is seeking a resolution of support for an E-date for a potential expansion of an existing manufacturing operation right here in Escambia County.
Okay, quick note, the E-date does not have details yet. It's essentially a letter of support for creating an ordinance that would create an E-date, which is the Economic Development Ad Valorem Tax Exemption. That's basically giving them a break on their property taxes for a period of time. I think the maximum is 20 years, if I remember correctly, and you can give it up to 100% for 20 years. But anyway, just there are no terms yet that we know of or that have been publicly disclosed.
With a capital investment of $100 million in both building improvements and new machinery and equipment, The company is also considering the creation of 300 new jobs with an average wage of approximately $75,000 per year. That's close to 35% above our current average.
Which, by the way, is what they're always looking for. They're always looking for jobs that pay better than the average job already pays to raise the wage average.
It is important to understand our community has been in competition also for this project with the state of New York and the country of Poland and other facilities where it's within the company's footprint. So incentives are an important factor as we move forward with this location decision.
We're in competition with New York and Poland. It's a little, but also, you know, the more of these particulars they tell, you would assume, I would make the assumption that whoever this company is, and I don't know, does that mean they have offices in New York because it's an expansion, or is it a new creation kind of thing? You know, it's expanding here. They're already here, he said. But do they have a outpost in Poland? Okay, well, there's not a lot of companies that are going to fit that bill. If you wanted to go digging, maybe you could figure it out.
Project Leopard is exactly the type of project that aligns closely with our economic development priorities. It brings new high-wage jobs, significant capital investment, and precision manufacturing activity to our region. The expansion incorporates new production equipment and technologies to support production alongside the facility's existing operations, and is expected to generate substantial economic activity throughout Escambia County with supporting local suppliers, contractors, and service providers.
And it positions us as being able to brag to the world, we've got this thing, this is the kind of thing that you can do here, and it entices more people to come here.
If Project Leopard is granted this resolution of support for the E-Date, it will provide the needed support for this investment and will reinforce the firm's long-term commitment to Escambia County and strengthen the region's position as a national player in manufacturing.
Now, generally speaking, I don't like E-dates. I don't like government incentivizing business. I think that it's a distortion of the marketplace, and, you know, government should let businesses do what they're going to do. I'm also a realist, and I know that it, you know, I mean, because that's basically, you know, some form of socialism. It's some form of, you know, government intervening in the marketplace and creating incentives and not exactly owning the tools of production, but, you know, in some cases, yes, owning them, right? Like you think about the ST Engineering Aerospace, you know, the city of Pensacola owns that because it's Triumph money, because it's state money, because it's all this. So that's bad. But we live in a world where kind of everybody does it. And because everybody does it, if you want to compete against other locations who are willing to do that, you know, if the girls over there are, you know, willing, you know, you feel like, well, if we're not willing, I don't know how good we can compete. You know, that, I mean, it doesn't justify, but it's the explanation, okay? So I'm very torn always on these economic incentives because I generally don't believe in them as a free market capitalist. But as a realist, I understand that we are always in competition with, you know, Alabama and Georgia and apparently Poland for these business opportunities and, you know, we want them, but at a certain point, you pay too much to get them, and they're not worth getting. And so there's a balancing act, both philosophically and practically. Another piece of information, just kind of a fun one. I was like the human stuff. At this meeting on April 1st, that's last Wednesday, Wes Moreno was back for the first time in, I mean, gosh, at least a month, I think.
I know I said it this morning, but I want to say it again. Wes, welcome back. Do you have anything you want to say?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It is great to be here. I guess the last meeting I was in was January 23rd. It was my birthday. I turned 60 years old.
Two and a half months.
Did I know 2 days later, I wouldn't be able to get off the couch and walk to the restroom. So I've been through an ordeal out of nowhere, clearly out of the blue. But I appreciate the patience of the board and the willingness to work with me during this time.
And his wife taking care of him. I mean, he's been, like you notice, he has not been on the show because he's been out on intermittent family medical leave. And they go through the whole meeting. It was about an hour and 20 minutes, I think, in the end. And a lot of these meetings typically go like 3-4 hours has been more common recently.
Wes, the budget and finance consent agenda, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There are 19 items on the budget finance consent agenda. There are no changes. There are no speakers.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor? Wonderful. 5-0. Thank you.
That concludes my report.
Short and sweet. Welcome back. Allison, the county attorney's report.
You should have been here for the last couple months, Wes.
I watched that. I watched, I know.
I think we're all jealous.
There's no changes, no speakers, buddy. I don't know.
No changes, no speakers, and no controversy, or at least not much. That's Stephen Barry making a joke, which is kind of a funny joke and appropriate. 5:59 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, man, we got a lot of stuff to get to. We're going to spend a lot of time today talking about what came out in that press conference yesterday. A lot of very interesting, not just the details on the raid, but some of the clarifying comments by the president about what he thinks of the future of the global order. I mean, big stuff that was discussed in this meeting yesterday. And, you know, I think the news has picked up on some of it and maybe missed some of it. But some of it is very interesting.